Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
We continue in our New Testament reading from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 to 11. Now conquerors ride war horses, leading a parade of captives and captive treasure. Jesus enters humbly on a donkey, bringing not war, but peace. Now you need to know that in those days a donkey is the way a new king would arrive in Israel. So who is this, they ask? The answer lies in a rarely read book of prophecy that clarifies the odd sight we see today, a conqueror whose weapons are selfless and peace, a conqueror who shows us how to bless one another. Beginning in verse 1. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethpage out at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. And if anyone asked you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophets, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you humbly and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey with the colt and put the cloaks on them, and he sat on them. Now very large crowds spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" Crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Holy One, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you as we journey with Jesus to the cross this week. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and our rock. Amen. Many years ago, when I had my first baby, hours and hours of labor and pain, I know many of you remember those days perhaps, and I remember saying as a young mother, "Wow, that was hard. That was really hard." I was in labor for many hours, long hours. And so then I came home and I began talking to my mom friends, other mothers, about my birth experience as if this has never happened to anyone except me. The famous words of Scott Peck's book, The Road Less Traveled. His first words are, "Life is difficult." And then he goes on to say, "This is a great truth, but most of us can't see it. Instead, we moan incessantly, noisily, or subtly about the enormity of our problem, as if life is supposed to be easy for us, and therefore what has happened to us has never happened to anyone else before. At least not in this excruciating, painful or mysterious way that seems to be burdening us." Peck says this when he wrote it not because he was a therapist who heard his patients say that over and over again, but because he was tempted to believe that himself. You could call it the law of exceptionalism, the idea that this has never happened to anyone before, at least not to the degree that it's happened to me. Exceptionalism. I like that cartoon I saw one time, long time ago, of a huge desk with a large man, CEO, sitting in a very large chair. And in walks this man in plain clothes, obviously one of the lowly employees of the corporation. And the worker says to the boss, "If it's any comfort, it's lonely at the bottom too." Life is difficult for everyone. Someone explained to me once why they don't like Lent, and they said, "I'm not into suffering." Well, yes, good luck with that. I'm not into it either. Somehow that made me feel better because it felt like, well, it's optional. I'm not into it. Like it's an adopted sort of lifestyle that you can have. Well, you know what? Jesus wasn't into it either. Don't you remember he prayed in the garden, "Let this cup pass from me." But when the time came and he set his face on this hero's quest, the text said he set his face steadfastly to Jerusalem. Today, we can talk about so many things about this text. We could talk about the palms. We could talk about the donkey. We could talk about his humility. We could talk about his sonship, his deity, his sovereignty. But what struck me the most this time around was his humanity and the encouragement that he needed in this last leg of his journey toward the cross and resurrection and ascension into heaven. Well, what does this mean for us? We who are now the sons and daughters of Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us and blessed us with the Holy Spirit, what does this mean for us? It means that we are the ones who are now carrying that blessing. Blessed are we who come in the name of the Lord. It's a powerful and great significance in our lives. You see, the words in that one sentence are so important to this text, to the people then, and to us. What comes out of our mouths is important and powerful. We all need encouragement on the difficult road of life, especially these days, we feel. As we all are looking for that resurrection experience, what does that mean? Well, resurrection means that we are lifted into a different place, beginning on earth and into heaven. Jesus rode a donkey, a symbol of kingship in those days, along the way, the people waved their palms and lifted him with the words, "Hosanna, blessed are you that comes in the name of the Lord." Those words that blessed him, and words bless us as well. So today, I want to talk to you about blessing people with your words. Our words, what comes out of our mouth, has power to either lift someone up or push them down. And we can say something that will make them feel better in their day or feel worse in their day. A simple compliment can change someone's entire day and encourage them on a very difficult journey, whether you know about it or not. It can give them a whole new perspective. And we are all on some kind of journey, seeking a promise of a resurrected life, a life that begins, eternal life that begins now and goes for the rest of eternity. We won't realize the full abundance of that maybe in this life, but we are on the journey nonetheless. And we need encouragement along the way. We need words that help to speak life. When you tell someone, you know what, you look nice today. Great job on that project that you just finished. You're so smart. Simple words, but powerful in helping someone to feel good about themselves or to bring a brightness to their day. And it won't cost you a dime. Just a few simple words that bless them. The power of your words is that powerful. Your words are that powerful. So every day we should find at least one person that we can bless with our words in our lives. Maybe you're living with someone. Bless that person with our words. Bless that person with our words. It's such a simple thing. There is enough pushing down people in this world, but not enough of lifting them up. I want to share a story with you today. A woman, she came to a church I was ministering to. She came out of nowhere, just showed up one day. I'll call her Jane. She was one of the most beautiful black women I have ever seen. She was stunning. From the moment she walked in, she began to look for opportunities to serve. From day one, she wanted to serve coffee and asked to go and serve it. She showed up at coffee hour every Sunday to do that. She also began to show up at the soup kitchen to serve there once a week. She greeted me every Sunday as pastor and thanked me for the message. She had a very shy and lovely smile, but there was something in her eyes, something I saw in her eyes that made me realize something's not right, something unsettling. Now, I wasn't sure what it was, but I knew it was there. So one day after church, I said, Jane, thank you for being here and jumping right in and serving everyone. I just want you to know that I think you're amazing. I think you're such a generous person and so beautiful. She was stunning. She thanked me and she left. Weeks went by, and I tried to make it a point to greet her every Sunday at the coffee hour. One day I received an email from her, and she began to tell me all that happened to her life. She was only 28 years old. She had come to Connecticut to work in one of the big insurance companies, and then they laid her off several months after coming due to the pandemic and downsizing. She was sleeping on a coworker's couch. Basically, she was homeless. She said she didn't know what to do except just to be present and serve people, even in the midst of her homelessness. You know, you just never know where people are coming from when you greet them. You just never know. Proverbs 18:4 says, the words of my mouth are deep waters. Your words can be life-giving water to a thirsty soul. It's important to notice who's around you, whether you're in the grocery store, in the church, no matter where you are. Notice who's around you. Be in tune with people. Even the person who checks you out at the cash register, even if they don't look like they're happy. I like your shirt you're wearing today. It looks really nice on you. Be in tune with people. Jesus didn't, you see, pull up to City Hall in Jerusalem on a camel limo or a covered wagon of some sort with paparazzi surrounding him so that the people couldn't get close. He walked in on a donkey with the people praising him and praising God. King Jesus did come to Jerusalem, all the people shouting Hosanna, and Jesus, you see, in that moment was very vulnerable. I believe needing them as much as they needed him. Friends, people are thirsty. People are hungry. Everywhere we go, people are lonely, they're hurting, they're disappointed, they have heartache, they have pain. But God has given us something with our mouths to offer them. Life-giving blessings using our words. With our words, we can lift someone out of, begin a journey of healing. With our words, we can offer hope and we can lift them out of depression, even for a moment. Your words can tell them, you know, you're beautiful. You look nice today. You're so talented. You have an amazing future in front of you. Those life-giving words can break the strongholds of depression and the chains of low self-esteem. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed are you who speaks in the name of the Lord. God wants to use your words to bless others. When you bless others with your words, you are beginning a life of healing others. You are living your life as a healer. You pour out living water. Your words don't just give someone the encouragement they need on their journey. They begin the healing for that person. Don't miss that opportunity every single day. When you pass by people wherever you go, see them as beautiful. See something beautiful about them. Something you can offer that says to them, I care about you. Hi, I'm glad to see you today. Maybe no one has said that to them ever. You don't know. Maybe they don't think that people are glad to see them. You just don't know. You don't know what's happening or what has happened in their lives. But God can take that one word from you and begin that healing process. The only words God can use on this earth are yours and mine. God wants to use your voice, the only voice that God has to bring healing and life and hope and love is our words. Your words, you see, blend with God's words. It's like the natural taking on the supernatural. And that's why something ordinary or speaking to something ordinary can suddenly become extraordinary in life. I didn't know that the woman had lost her job. I had no idea. I didn't know that she was sleeping on someone's couch, that her family was in Africa, so she was alone in this country. All I saw was her generosity and her beauty. And later she told me that my words encouraged her to get up every day and keep going. She still writes me to this day. And good news is she has been employed again. Praise God. That's a Hosanna moment. Another thing our words do, they tell stories. I thought about the last 3 years of the pandemic and wondered, okay, what is the story that I've told my grandkids about the pandemic? Did I tell them it was scary, that we were worried about dying, that we were locked up for fear of getting some mysterious disease? That they can't go near anyone anymore, give anybody a hug, that they need to be afraid of people, that there wasn't enough toilet paper to go around, and that the lines in Target were awful. What kind of message about God's care and providence is on all of that? Our words are important for children to grow in their spirits and in their bodies. Our words teach them that they can trust God. Who cares? Our words help them to see their parents and grandparents are people that they can trust, as God was trusted would part the Red Seas of the Israelites' life. I had to try to be conscious many, 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 many months about what I said to them. Simple words, words of encouragement that God cares. You see, this isn't a parade of triumph for victory. It's a parade of God's passion toward us and his creation. It's a parade where words matter. The tongue, you see, is the most powerful tool we have. In Ephesians 4:8, it says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for the building up of others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. We can use our tongue to bring blessings or curses. The saying, sticks and stones may hurt my bones, but words will never hurt me, that's just simply not true. Words are painful and can be painful. Our tongues, you see, are the most difficult thing to control as well. And it leaves us with regret when we say something wrong or we've hurt somebody. But there's hope. Make a decision today. Who can you bless with words of encouragement? Who can you bring a blessing to every single day? Find someone that you can do that with. If you make it your goal to speak kindly to one person a day, blessed are you. Your day is going to expand. Joy will come right back at you. Someone will encourage you, be kind to you, tell you that you're beautiful or handsome. An unnamed Messiah rides on a donkey knocking at Jerusalem's door, and the people said, "Who is this?" When you walk into your day with words of blessing people around you, people are going to say, "Who are you?" People just don't hear that very much. And pay attention to your thoughts. You see, God is working in your thoughts. When you get an idea or a thought that comes to mind that you need to call somebody or tell somebody they're lovely or beautiful or offer a compliment, God is speaking. God is speaking. God wants to use your words to help that person heal, to give hope, to restore someone. People shouted, "Hosanna." It was an important announcement and a praise that hope had arrived. When you use your words to lift someone up, it offers a praise to God. Again, the only voice God has to use in this world is yours. Don't miss that opportunity. There was a time in my life when I was especially worried, anxious, downcast. I was a young woman living in Texas. My husband and I had were facing a big move out of Texas. We had a very profitable business in real estate and building. And then Texas went belly up in the oil industry, and so did our houses in the housing market. We lost a lot. The housing market was dead. Nothing was selling. We needed to leave, and family was calling us northward here in Connecticut. My husband and I were nervous about the whole thing, and we had three small children. We had worked so hard, and it seemed like it was evaporating. Now, I had been working as a nurse at the bedside of people, encouraging them with my words. And now I needed encouragement. And people began to show up in our lives. All around us, people began to encourage, "You can do this. God is with you." Church friends, neighbors, all cheering us on, offering these words that we needed to hear. Very soon, our house sold. And we got what we needed out of the house. It was a miracle. We were able to move northward and make that journey. If that had not happened, I wouldn't be standing in front of you today. But it did. You see, God knew that we needed to get out of there and knew what the rest of our journey ahead was going to be. And we needed those words of encouragement. Two things from the lessons I'm trying to teach you today. And that is, you can be the right person for someone. You can. You don't know what they're going through, but you can be the right person. They may look good on the outside, but on the inside, they are suffering. And what you sow, well, you will always reap. If you sow love, if you sow encouragement, you're going to get that back. Words are powerful. So as we enter this holy week together, sharing a meal today and on Thursday as we share the Last Supper with Jesus, it's a time this week to offer hope. It's a time this week to use your words to encourage somebody. This week and every week, it's time to bless with our words. So pay attention to your thoughts. Listen to what God may be saying. Don't doubt. Let God use your words to encourage. Thank you for your smile. Thank you. It brightens my day. Thank you for singing Happy Birthday to me today. Thank you. Thank you. Walk through this week with shoes of peace, because you'll bless somebody that way.